Steve. You wrote a column this week on Rivercrest High School, a northeastern Arkansas school district that decided to do something about the gap in test scores between black and white students. Tell me the story of where this community was.
Well, you had, like a lot of districts, you had a large achievement gap between African-American students and white students. In fact, last year on the junior literacy exam, you had 65% of white students score proficient or better, and only about 31% of African-American students scored at that level. And so you had this second-year teacher, Lindsay Kelly, idealistic teacher from all-white Valley View High School in Jonesboro, who was a teacher there at Rivercrest, and she decided that she wanted to do something about it. And so she along with this training consortium known as the Arkansas Leadership Academy, devised a project in which they just basically sat down with the students grade by grade, 9th through 12th, only African-American students, called them in over the intercom, all African-American students report to the library, and talked to them and asked them, what is the district doing wrong, and what can we do in order to help facilitate a better learning experience for you?
And what were some of the outcomes from that questioning process?
One of the first things that happened, they interviewed all the students, both as a group, both as grades, and then individually in groups of two or three, and just kind of talked to them about their learning styles. That information was given to teachers, and then something happened that the educators had not planned. A group of students formed together known as the Gentlemen of Knowledge, and it's about 10 students, juniors through ninth grade, African Americans, and they just were determined to hold themselves and their classmates accountable, really all their classmates, regardless of their race. They took it very seriously. They gave each other pep talks, and right before the state's benchmark exams, they had an assembly where they really encouraged their fellow students to do their best. And in 1 year's time, African-American students, their test scores went from 31% proficient to 48% proficient in 1 year's time. That's just a quantum leap. That kind of education, that kind of improvement does not happen with any kind of top-down education reform.
Steve, what were some of the key recommendations that came out of those focus groups, those small group discussions that you think made the difference?
I think the biggest difference was that the students really were given a sense that the district really cared about them. Now, they knew that the district cared about them, but this was a different level, a real feeling of ownership, that they matter, that they weren't just having education kind of thrown at them. But some of the recommendations were basically very simple. Don't go so fast trying to stay on schedule. Sometimes if I don't understand the material, let's just slow down and make sure that I do. Just very, very basic stuff that would have applied to any student. Those were the recommendations. And now the big thing was also that the students were able to talk one-on-one with the assistant principal and tell them how they learned better. And that information was given to their teachers so the teachers kind of understood better, where are they most comfortable sitting in class? Are they visual learners or audio learners? All these things really help them do better.
So just a simple proposition of seeking input from students. Would this work anywhere? I mean, it seems a little too simple as a solution.
Well, Rivercrest is not like everywhere else. Rivercrest is it's a small school. It's a rural school, basically a consolidation of a bunch of small districts around it. But something similar happened in Texarkana, which is a much larger school. That one, unlike Rivercrest, was more of student-initiated by one student, Chris Schamberger, a junior who really wanted to make a difference, and he kind of formed this group, Future Black Male Leaders of America. And that group spent their year really working both to do their best on their own scores, but also to encourage their fellow students, white and black, male and female. They out of it grew a peer mediation effort in which students literally sat with each other, sat with their peers, and tried to help them do better in school. And they also have shown great improvement on their scores.
All right, let's stay on the subject of children, but turn our attention to the late week news on funding cuts to parents who take in foster children. The governor says that tax cuts that he both reluctantly supported and then proudly defended are to blame. Republican lawmakers are crying foul. What's your take?
Well, it started with an announcement by the Division of Children and Family Services that they were going to have to cut payments to families that take in foster children who require therapeutic intervention, basically children who require some kind of behavioral intervention. The thinking being that those families also receive an additional pot of money from a different source in the state government. Representative Donna Hutchinson cried foul, and she said that basically Governor Beebe was targeting this very vulnerable group in order to kind of make the case that the tax cut shouldn't have happened. She called him Scrooge. Governor Beebe responded that she was, you know, misinformed, and maybe and he got kind of personal in his response too. It kind of went back and forth. Some Republican legislators kind of came to Hutchinson's offense. Then other legislators said, well, you know, we would vote for this tax cut anyway. I mean, we felt like this was part of what needed to be done. At this point, Representative Hutchinson is threatening to hold up funding for the division when the next fiscal session occurs next year.
So do you think the tax cuts are to blame for some of the funding cuts in this?
Sure. When you cut taxes, you have to cut spending. Is there waste elsewhere in government? Sure, and that waste should be cut. But that $35 million, it was a tight budget that Governor Beebe proposed. And, you know, I'm not against tax cuts. I'm not against spending cuts. But when you have tax cuts, you have to have spending cuts.
Steve, is this partisan politics with a Democratic governor looking to score points and Republican lawmakers looking to gain an advantage, or is this legitimately the way these situations could and should be handled?
Well, this kind of thing is probably not going to go away, especially now that we have a stronger two-party system in Arkansas. You like to see these kind of questions resolved more in a more quiet way without any kind of name-calling. The arguments that are involved, you know, size of government, whether or not we need to cut taxes, especially as spending requirements are going to increase, these are really legitimate political discussions that need to be had. And it's good that we have more than one side and we have several sides discussing these things, so that's fine. Name-calling is really not a way to solve problems, especially not in a public way, and hopefully we can do a few more of these things without having to get personal about it.